Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Gracious Father in heaven, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. For your wonderful, Lord, love and mercy towards us. For showing us grace in this generation, Father. And calling us, O Lord, to come to you. Be reconciled back to you. We are so thankful, Father, for your great love. We are thankful, Lord, for your grace, your mercy, your loving kindness, O Lord. For your patience, O even so that while you have us in your hand, Lord, and guide us as a family, you have been very patient, O Lord, with each and every one of us. But Lord, you want us to be close to you. You want to draw us close to you, Lord. And we know you wanted that. And we pray that our spirit, O Lord, will yield ourselves to you. That, Lord, we would not be as rebellious Israel, Lord, in time past when they have seen all the miracles and all the great work you have done in their midst. And yet, Lord, they want their own way in this and that, in whatever, O Lord, they seek to do. Lord, we pray that we would not be like Israel. Because, Lord, we have seen, O Lord, the gospel. We have seen Jesus Christ. We have seen, O Father, Lord, your hand upon our life. What more, Lord, that we have need of you, Lord, other than your presence, your very life in us, O Lord, always, Father, to guide us and lead us. We thank you, Lord, for your patience with us, O Lord. We thank you, Lord, being so faithful, O God, to your word, that, Lord, your election stands sure. That, Lord, you have all your plan, your counsel, your will, all being already done, Father, even though it hasn't even happened yet. You consider all those things as though they were things that have not even existed, things that there were not even yet been, O Father, yet you consider them all done and finished because of the finished work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. We know that we can rest assured, Father, of your grace and your mercy and your faithfulness to your word of promise, Father, Lord. So, Lord, you just bless us today, Lord. Nevertheless, Father, forgive us our shortcoming and our whatever, Lord, that we have done. And we pray that you always speak to us, Father, the things that we have done that need to be corrected. As we walk in the grace of the Lord, we continue to walk into Mount Zion, where the holy city, New Jerusalem, that awaits us, Father. So, Lord, as we now come before you, in the presence, O Lord, of thy holy word, coming around the throne, we ask that you open our hearts and really to understand. Bless those that might be hearing this on the video, on your audio posted on the website, Father. We ask that you bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Look at it on the mind of God. Alright. And his purpose now is as far as election is concerned. Alright. So when we look into the mind of God, we look into, first of all, the eternal spirit. Now, the only way to approach a subject that is difficult to understand is always going back to the beginning. Start from the beginning. We cannot go backwards by turning your Bible from reading from Revelation backwards to Genesis. You don't do that because you don't have a proper timeline. And this is one of the things that people all do not understand. And they get themselves mixed up. You know, timeline is important because God is showing something. God deals with people differently from time to time. Before there was before law came, there was no law. So then God brought in the law. So after the law brought in the law, then he brought in grace. So you cannot mix what's in the law with what's in grace. Do you understand what I'm saying? How he dealt with Israel is one thing. How he's dealing with the children or the Gentile is another altogether. How he deals with the Christian is one thing. How he deals with the sinner is another. how he deals with those who have the message in their generation is different from those who do not have the message. That's why the Bible says, more is given to you, more is required from you. Obviously. So my people might say, well, in that case, I don't want to learn anymore. So I will not be required more. And then how foolish you will be, because you never get to know your Father in heaven. Is that right? Okay. The more that you know Him, the more that you understand, the better you are. That's for sure. That's not why knowledge is power. That's not why people who have education. Fortunately, at least I have an education. In those days, my father could not afford, do not want us to go to school. It was my mother who put us to school. You just imagine. If you don't have an education, it's very hard to get a job, unless you're very good with hands, unless you learn on the job, you know, and you get promoted. You see. But today is all based on a piece of paper which says that you have such and such an education. Alright. So we look at the beginning or back into the past and look at the eternal spirit. Now, the eternal spirit, we always use the word a circle. A circle being that it has no beginning, no ending. Alright, so we use this circle here as the spirit, the eternal spirit, and the mind of the Lord God. Alright, so now, the next thing we know is that He is all by Himself. All by Himself. Now we don't know how many million years back, whatever it is, we do not know. Alright. But we know that since the universe, according to what scientists are already now able to calculate, but I don't know what they do, you know, I always forget what my son told me, how they able to look at the length of time that they are able to calculate, you know, going back as time travel or whatever expansion. So they said it's about 13.6 or 13 billion years or 13.6 billion years ago. Alright, and the earth, the universe started from that time. It's that old. And then the earth is 4.6 million years old. Okay, and I believe they can find it, because back, as I said, back in my days in secondary school, the scientists are a lot of guesswork, because they don't know how to calculate, but now they have all this quantum physics and this quasar and don't know whatever little thing that they discover, so they're able to send the thing out and do whatever they calculate and they got it. And that's why NASA and all this space travel, or not space, sending out satellite or sending out what is that thing that goes around it? Satellite, yeah. Spacecraft, okay, whatever. And then, you know, they can calculate so accurately the trajectory, how to catch up with the planet, how fast they go and all this, you know. And they can land on a planet after they travel for so many million kilometers round and round and things like that. You know how they calculate. It's amazing. Alright, so that's how that mathematics, math is so accurate. So you cannot miss it if you know what to do. Alright, so now, it came to a point where God had a thought. He had a thought. A thought is just a thought. Okay? So you know what a thought is, that it came to God's mind, He wanted to do something. Now, if you were to sit in a park, all by yourself in the cool of the evening, looking at the star, lie down, just, you know, relax, and just, your mind just didn't get anything. You're thinking about this, and then suddenly, something hit you. You jump up! Alright, I got it! This is what I'm going to do. A thought just enter. But a thought is just a thought, okay? Everything is compressed in the thought until you expand it. It just all comes suddenly. And I believe it is, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's Archimedes, who wanted to find the volume, you know, displacement or something like that. He went to his bathtub, he sit down there, and then he said, Eureka! Is he the one? Archimedes, right. Then he jumped up, now he got it. You see. And you get a guy like Isaac Newton sitting under an apple tree. Was it not under an apple tree when an apple dropped on his head or something like that? Oh, no, I got it. You see, everything is just a thought, something strike, and he got it. You see. So he started to get up and start to calculate this and then do it with this and so on and so forth. So what we have is that there's a thought in the mind of God. Boom! Finger, the spark, everything's there. Alright, but it is still in the mind of God. It's not become yet a reality. It's just in the mind of God. Alright, so now that's a thought. Okay, so the thought is a word unexpressed, something that is in the mind. So you have to bring it out. Okay, so what we have now is, from a thought, God began to counsel with himself. Because he had a thought that he wants to do something. Okay? Now this thing doesn't stay in the mind of God since eternity. Because the Bible tells us, in the beginning was the Word, so there must be a beginning. Now people who don't believe in that, and want to believe that the Word was in eternal with God, that is nonsense. You understand what I'm saying? A thought is a word unexpressed. It must come. It must have a starting point. And so people, the theologians, have the hard time trying to figure that out. Because they cannot accept that Jesus Christ had a beginning. That the Word had a beginning. Because to say that the Word had a beginning and the Word was Jesus Christ, they say, no. Jesus Christ must be eternal. So you have a problem. Like those that we discussed on Friday, Melchizedek. Melchizedek, king of Salem. And they believe that this Melchizedek was a literal person who was a king of a city called Salem. He was a real person. You know. But you understand that a king can never be a high priest. But he was the priest of the Most High God. He was not the priest of a people. He was a priest of the Most High God. Back in the letter Paul came around wrote the book of Hebrew. And what did Paul say about Melchizedek? He was without father and without mother. Right? Why, without father, without mother, what do the people say in the denomination? That means that he had no descent. He was without descent. Now what do you mean by without descent? That's the problem. You know, if I don't have a descent, it means I don't have a son. I don't have children. But you're saying that, well, he doesn't have parents. That means how can he be out? That means you don't have an accent or ancestor or your forefather. So there is a that when you have tradition, when you have a doctrine that is based on tradition and you want to defend it, you will defend it. No matter how. And you will twist the scripture here and there, but when the Bible is specific, you cannot lie. Just like it's always been a problem, and it seems that now people are turning towards some kind of different interpretation of things now, because, well, you know, we would say that religion can change. When human beings wanted to have it in their own convenience, or wanted their own interpretation. Look at Shunism, for example. You know Shunism, right? Okay, you see here this pagan worship. Now we have in Singapore the worship, you can see the joysticks, it's huge. Huge joysticks, giant joysticks. And it was in the news back then, several years ago, I think maybe at least about 10, 15 years back, that some people from Hong Kong, they came to Singapore, and they were also in the same kind of a religion, and they were surprised to see the giant joysticks that we don't have that in Hong Kong. So you see, religion have its peculiarity, even in Christianity, even in all the various religions. Okay? But we're not concerned with that, we're concerned with what we know we have, the book, the black book. Maybe ours is brown, I don't know. That's all right. The one that we call the sacred scripture. So this is what we base on. We want to understand this. You got it? So a thought has a beginning. So it was in the mind of God. So when God had a thought to do something, so he counseled with himself. What was that thought? He started to counsel. He planned. Counseling with himself. He didn't counsel with anybody else. Ephesians chapter 1 told us that. Ephesians chapter 2 told us that. Tells us that, right? That God counseled with himself. Not with himself. We know that. It's not a trinity. It's a own one unique being. And when he counsels, he has a will set to do what he wants. And a purpose to achieve what he had counseled. that His will be done. These are the things you must understand. His counsel, His will, and His purpose. So having done that, then he looked to the end. Now if you don't counsel me, then you don't look to the end. Because if you have when you have a thought, then counsel, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. I want to bring out this thing, I want to do that. Now, if this thing be, I can look into the future. What will be? Even before you exist. He planned all this in his mind. He planned all of this counsel with himself. Right? Do you know that your thought is alive? People say your thought is not alive. A thought is a word unexpressed. If you don't express, it's in you. And when it's in you, it's alive in you. You agree what I'm saying? It's alive. It's not a dead. A thought is not a dead thing. You don't believe me? Think about, I want to kill that person. I want to kill that person. I want to kill that person. What do you have? Huh? It's something in their life that is eating into you because of your hatred. I hate that person. I hate that person. I hate that person. Right? You understand what I'm saying? So when you see that person, your face changes. But you say, oh, I love him. I forgive him. I forgive him. When you see him, you're different. It's a word is alive even in the mind. That's why your thought, even though the word is unspoken, it speaks loud in heaven. You know that, don't you? You see? And so why it's not just about what you say, your thought, you can produce daggers in your eye, flowing out of your eyes, or love in your eyes. A spirit. A word is a spirit, is a living thing. You might not think so. I want you to consider, think about that. You see, that's why God said, meditate upon His word. You know, that's what the Bible said, the word and the spirit, they are one. Right? And the Bible in the book of last chapter of Revelation said, what? And the spirit and the word and the bride, or the spirit and the word and the bride says, come. You see, because the word is in the bride. You see. So you need to understand the reality of this. So when God comes up with himself, then he looked to the end. That is why when he looked to the end, he can do what he wants. To see what he's going to do. Over there, he's going to pick whatever he wants. He had already a plan. He looked into it, okay, this is what I'm going to do. He looked into the future. Huh? And then what do we have? Then he choose and he foreknow. And he predestined. Huh? Choose or foreknown. He look into the future, he sees such and such a one. And he choose. He foreknown him, he put the seed to, you know what, the deep color to the deep. So that that person could respond when the true word of God comes to him. And then he predestinate. Now there is a difference between the word choose here. Now choose is not predestination. Choosing is not predestinating. Choose is a choice. Choose is to elect. You have not chosen me, I have chosen you. Right? God said that. You did not choose me. I chose you. God said that. To choose is to elect. A choice. But to predestinate is another thing. But it's so commonly misunderstood, this word election and predestination. People tend to put it together as if it's the same. And I said it is not the same. You understand? Now even brother, there are people who are just those and Branham will always like to argue and to defend Brother Branham. You know, they don't think that Brother Branham used word to the best. You know how to use a word. Even though it may not be the correct word, but we understand what he's trying to say. Though baby goes to heaven if they die. Abraham, what did Abraham say? He says, no, unless they are predestined. So they use the word predestined. The simple way, the correct word to be used, unless they are chosen or unless they are elected.
Predestination has another thing attached to it, which many people don't seem to understand. Okay? Alright. So now, because he looked into the future, before anything actually started, he foreknown, he can see the people, he knows who and he chose. Now, it is not a random chosen. And I always want to tell you, it is not random. Not just blindly pick. No. Because God looked down upon man and he sees the spirit that is in the man and the woman. What he's looking for, we'll never know. Because when it comes to the word of God later on, we understand. Now, after he predestinated, chosen, and predestinated, then the counsel is fixed. He done everything, wrote everything. Okay, it is done. Go to the book of Isaiah 46, verse 10. Isaiah 46 and verse 10. Look, we can stop on verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. From ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. All things that are not yet done, but he knows and he sees it from the beginning. And in his own counsel, in his own choosing, predestining, working out whatever he wants to do, he considered it done. My counsel stand, my will stand, my purpose shall stand. You got it? Huh? And that's why people find, says, well, in that way we don't have a choice actually. And that's true. In a way, you don't have a choice. Because why? God is playing out a drama. You know that God is playing out a drama? He's writing a story. God is making a movie. Directing a play. As Shakespeare really correctly said, all the words, the stage, and men and women are merely players. They have their exits and they have their entrances. Huh? And one man in his lifetime plays many parts. What do you have? So God had a plan. All I know is one thing. He wanted a family. He wanted a family. That's why the Bible in the book of Genesis, when God created Adam, he said, it is not good for man to be alone. It was reflecting himself. He don't want to be alone. He was always alone. He is the only one who is eternal. Always was. Will be. The I am. So he wanted a family. That's what the thought came to him, to have a family. But he doesn't want a family who is robotic. You get the point. He could have a family that's robotic, you know, very obedient, but there is no proper, you know, feeling in that being if it is being motivated or being told to love him. And he just, that being just said, yes, I love you. But there is nothing inside there that says that this person really loved him, because there was no choice in him. That's why God looked into the future. He had to have a plan that will allow a fall. And he, the Bible said that in the book of Romans, right? That God allowed the creature, man, to be subject to vanity, to the fall. So that man would know what is good and evil. In a real sense, what is good and evil. Not just knowing what is evil. We know what is evil when you fornicate. That's wrong. But you don't really know what it is until you do it. To really know that.
You understand that?
And God being God knows what it is like. And rebellion is just like the thing. Okay, just for example. Well, in the paper there was that other young man who went up there to foreign workers who was smaller size than him, you know, and would not fight back and punch the guy. What is he trying to do? He knows that it's wrong, but well, now he's testing what is really wrong now. You know? We all know what is wrong, because basically because we have a conscience. You understand what I'm saying? We all have a conscience, what is right, what is wrong. But we don't really feel the pinch until we do it. And we get caught. And then we feel, oh, that's wrong. That's where I'm wrong. That's why we all, every one of us in this room, the Bible says that we are men, we are fleshy, we are natural men. And we are subject to vanity, we are all tempted and put on trials and persecuted and this and that, whatever. And you know what? We do it very common, like driving a car. We speed, we break the speed limit. Practically every day, those of you who drive. Am I right? Very few of us get to the speed limit. I mean, it doesn't mean that just somebody, doesn't mean that you cannot go 75, you overtake. It doesn't mean that. It's not that when he says 70, we go 90, 100. Phew, we go. Until we get a summon. That's, that goes 200 bucks. Or something like that. Well, that's okay. He said, that's okay. I broke the law anyway. Then after that, you pay. Next month, you do the same. Until you get a point, then you know that you have two more points and you have no license for quite some time. Is that right? So you'll become very, very careful. He said, that's human nature. You understand that? So, God now having fixed his counsel, nothing changed. He already planned it. Alright? He will be gracious to whom he will be gracious. He will have mercy to whom he will be. He will have deep mercy. He is the potter. We are the clay. You have nothing to say to him. That you are a bad God. That you allow this war to be. Look at ISIS killing how many people. Look at this. These bored people, they are dying out there. What kind of God are you? Can a killer say to the potter, why you let this thing be? Yeah? See, God is playing out a drama, actually. Huh? You didn't just exist and then God come to pick you and how good you are, pick the good guy. And Jesus said, I am not come to call the righteous to repentance. I come to call and look for sins to repentance. What's wrong? So that's all people say. I don't believe in God. Look at what kind of God you have. People are suffering. Disease, cancer, AIDS. God? Pick like a God. They're disgusting. Because they think that they are God themselves. They want to have a world that is, well, utopian world. You know what I mean? People are looking that, oh, the world will be nice, you know, utopic, and everybody is happy and living nicely. Like Shangri-La. You know the imagination, what's being written in novels and years ago? Shangri-La. Where is Shangri-La? Somewhere out there in Himalaya, isn't it? Where is Shangri-La? They said that. Oh yeah, you see, human beings are like this. Many times, I mean, I'm guilty of it too. You know, when you read the newspaper, you see the news on the TV, or you see something that's happening about how people mistreat people, huh? You feel upset. You say, if I'm God, this is what I'm going to do. you know, you have this desire, and if you have the power to do something. Yeah? Isn't it? Right now? Yeah. Sometimes I've seen the MRT, I don't know, the MRT station. And you see young people sitting in the reserved seat. Young people! And old folk, but no, it seems less. It seems that people are willing to get up and give to the older folk. But those days, no. He said, the young people sit there, see all folk coming. Very tired. Pretend to be very tired, sleepy. And I was wondering, if only I had the power, I will have a superpower where I will have some sharp spike jump your backside and up you jump. You know what I mean? You have all these things in your fellow with the watch comedy people. All folks need it. Those people who are handicapped need it. Can you get up? You have seen report in the paper about the bus, how people can't even offer to give old people a seat in the bus, and the bus is moving and old folks fall off for them. You know this kind of thing that is going on. So you see the human nature that is there. God knows. That's why God allowed the fall so that you feel it, so that you have to make a choice to be conformed to His will. That's why God allowed this. Otherwise, people think that, well, I've been in Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm going to heaven. And they go around their own business being a Christian that is not Christian-like. That's the reason why people take it for granted. The Bible said so, John 3:16. I believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm going to heaven. That's be it. So be it. You know, believe, just believe. But they don't understand what is to believe. The devil also believe and he tremble. You understand? Look at what is that Paul spoke to that the king. What is his name? What is it? Thou almost what convert me. What's his name? What is his name now? I just forgot his name too. Agrippa, yes, King Agrippa. He said, he told Paul. Paul was preaching to him, testifying. And he said, his heart was moved. He said, thou almost convert me. You see, he knows what conversion is. He said, true conversion is really, because when you see a truth, you convert to it, you want to really follow it. A true conversion. Not half a six. You know. That's why he used the word. Yeah. Okay, now, well, now the counsel is fixed. What is the next thing? Next thing is planting the seed. Would it? Now, God had a thought already. He comes up with himself. He looked to the end. He chose because he foreknew, he predestined it. Then everything is done. He looked at everything, satisfied. And his counsel is fixed. His will is fixed. His purpose is done. Calling those things that were not as though they were. You can't change it. You understand what I'm talking about? Yeah. Because when you look down and you see the earth, you know, start to change its shape, make it shape, and then, oh, there will be an island called Singapore. Okay, so the island of Singapore will exist. Alright? And so of you here will be in Singapore will exist. He knows all about it and it's fixed. You see? So now he planted the seed. Okay, plant the seed. So now we are looking at the planting of the seed. That's what is inside here. But it's just a thought. Okay? It's not even the logos yet. Okay, there is the mind of God, there is the thought of God. So what we have is planting the seed. The seed has to come out. Now from eternity, the seed has to get out and step out of eternity to create. And that's when time begins. Do you understand? The moment when a thing begins, that's creation. When the thing or the word of God is planted, step out to bring in time. That's what the Bible says in the book of John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. Is that alright? The Word was with God, and the Word was God, because there was His thought. Your mind is you, you are you. And you talk about head transplant. You heard about head transplant? Have you read about the news about head transplant? Somebody said to me, he said, Brother God, there's a head transplant being done. I said, wow, that's very real, that's very good. That's kind of hoax anyway. It was the head transplant was being talked about, discussed about, I think about 5 years back. So the news broke out that hair was transplanted and everything was on. Doctor said it, you know. The article looks so real. We report on the CNN. Lo and behold, it was hoax. So real that people fall for it because doctor's name was mentioned and things like that was mentioned. Oh, so the brother was asking me when he sent me that, he says, where is the soul? In the head or in which body? The guy's body is gone, the head is into somebody else's body. Head transplant. And you say your body is useless, so you need the body, so transplant your head onto that person's body. Head transplant, marvelous. Wow. In fact, you can go and look on the YouTube, the possibility of head transplant is there. Because they say, at first the surgeon said, that's not possible, neurology says not possible, because why? There's so many millions of nerve cells going down from the spinal cord all the way down to make the body move and things like that. So you cut off the head, you transplant. How could it be? Well, go look at the YouTube tech, TED, you know, TED technology and all that discussion. They're very good. The man will tell you how it can be done because they have discovered what can be done with that spinal cord. How it can work, it will grow itself. Marvelous. Yes, that's a lot of things that's why, you know, the Bible said man has become like one of us. That is true. That's why we see man has become able to create things, do things. They imitate the birds to fly. They imitate the fish to swim in the ocean. Right? They can imitate a lot of things. Now they can make the blind to see with a special kind of gadget in the eye, things like that. Now, even Israel, they have found a vaccine called a vax something, I can't remember, that can actually produce immunity, teaching the cancer cell, teaching the cell that fight cancer, or the cancer cell not to be produced itself. They are able to discover, they said it will be able in about 5 to 7 years. Oh yes. Man is the intelligent. That God has given to look into the smaller thing and find an answer to the cure of man's ill. See? Alright. Of course, it is scary to see a man with my head upon a woman's body. Oh, what would that be? Ha ha ha! That is something. Alright. So now, planting the seed. Okay. So the Logos. So now the thought, the word, the thought expressed, the thought is the word unexpressed, now it's expressed. Once it comes out, it becomes known in the Greek word as Logos, as you find John chapter 1, verse 1. That is what it means. Okay? That's when it's the thought inside the mind, it is called Noema. Alright, so now we have the living word, Logos. Begin to create. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. Right. So what was the first thing the Logos created? I don't know. There's a lot of things that be possible what he created. What? Bring forth the gas? Or says, Big Bang! Boom! Pam! Then you get a Big Bang. I don't know how what comes up first, you know. Maybe the angel comes up first. Or maybe just atom molecules or whatever. So now time begins. So now, how do you quantify time? How do you quantify time, actually, huh? I don't know where your physics, I'm from an old school. We don't have all this modern teaching. Huh? So those people like, you know, Luke and all these young men and women. How can you quantify time? How do you quantify it, actually? Because to God, the Bible says, one day with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is just one day. That's to God. But to us, because we are, creature of time, so we become very conscious of time. Is it not true? You look at the watch. Come on, Brother Graham, please, hurry up. Huh? Oh, when you have something boring, oh boy, how come it's so slow? Time seems to slow down. But when you enjoy a wonderful entertainment of things, hey, 2 hours already. Look at 5 minutes only. Time is relative in any way, because you know that's why people don't seem to understand you. How do you quantify it? To what are you related to? You know. So can you quantify time, especially with eternity? Okay. Very hard, huh? There's no time in that, just a stretch. Okay, so to God, even perhaps 1 second is like 1 million years. Why? Okay? Alright. Now, Logos. Then we have, that's the beginning. Time begins. Time now begins. Correct. Okay. So now we have the Logos. The Logos now has to expand, start to create, bring things. The universe began to expand, and so on, and so on, and create. Okay, so now we have, well, the earth. We're looking at the earth, we're looking at the population, the earth, the people that are coming into existence. That's a lot of people. I don't know. What are you going to do? God looks into that now, he sees it, he starts to work. So from our perspective, being on earth that we are alive, we look into history. Or when you are living in those, back in those history of time. Okay, you need to understand we are looking at the chronology of time. We cannot mix them up. Okay, we have to flow with time. So, back in those days now, with all these people on the earth, the flooding, everything takes place, we go to the time after the flood. So God now begins to call the people. Now, you have a group of people. We started with Abraham, and then Abraham's descendant, and what is he doing with the people? What about the rest of all these people? God doesn't care. God doesn't care. God, he doesn't care! He don't care! No, we always have that feeling. But you know, God had the plan. Remember, God counseled with himself. He had a purpose. It's just like a lump of clay, the potter in his shed, with the potter's wheel there, and a lump of clay out there. So he can leave the lump of clay as long as he wants to. He takes what he wants, a small portion, and start to make whatever he wants. He takes his own donkey time to do his donkey work. Huh? But when he produces something, he just produces that. One, two, leave the rest of the clay there. No hurry. And the clay, the lump of clay says, the big lump of clay says, what about us? We have been waiting for 1 year now and you have not do anything with us. You see, God had a purpose. He's doing it. Time with God is nothing. You understand? But if he has fixed time for this earth for 6,000 years and the 7,000 is when he comes to rule in Christ Jesus, you are very fortunate. He could stretch time to 600,000 years. Is that right? He could have done that. You see? Right. So, when we look at the scripture, of course, we have only the guide, the Holy Scripture. Unless, of course, you don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. But it is very foolish for you not to believe, because after all, in the 20th century, the last century, God has brought this Bible out to light, and science cannot disprove it. The evidence of them, the numerical structures, the seal of God is fixed in the book. Discovered by who? A Christian? Not at all. Discovered by one who is an atheist, who is against the Bible. And when God opened his eye, he could see the seal that no Christian ever seen before. Nobody knows about the seal. His man was a mathematician. Linguished in two languages, the Greek and the Hebrew. You know. And he tried to prove that the Bible is just an ordinary book. But to his surprise, when he bought the Greek and the Hebrew, when he started reading the book of Matthew, the book of Genesis, he saw things that nobody ever noticed, because he was a mathematician.
And being that he was a linguist in Hebrew and Greek, and those two languages contains numerical placing of numbers. When he read it, he saw number popping up and he saw the seal. All throughout the Bible, man was converted just like that. And the whole of his university school, where he was known to be an atheist, and many of his friends who were atheists and agnostics were surprised. Said, "How come you become a Christian?" And he wrote a challenge back in those earlier 20th century in a paper for anybody who could produce a small text with numerical structure. He's willing to give them a reward. I think the reward at that time was $5,000 or $10,000. Can't remember. It was a big sum back then in the early 20th century. You see. So think about it. And we are fortunate people that God give us this privilege, this mercy, this grace to see the Word of God and to know Him. Huh? So now if He chose Israel, that is His choice. He's working. He had a plan to work using, first of all, a people called Israel, starting with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and 12 tribes. Right? Through them, that God gave them the oracles, so that from them, the oracle might go out to the rest of the world. Even if it takes God 6,000 years, it doesn't matter. Or if it takes God, we'll say 4,000 years. It doesn't matter. You see? Okay? So now, the children of Israel, they have oracles of God, they have the laws of God, and then what? They are the prophets. But they were rebellious. So God blinded their eyes because they refused to see the Messiah which the prophet prophesied about, and they crucified him. So the gospel went over to the Gentiles. So a Gentile is selected. That's why the children of Israel are blinded that's quite a long time. From the day that Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, they have the gospel with all the apostles. But as apostles start dying out, the gospel to the Jew start to diminish. Until God scattered them throughout the world in 70 AD. But God says, Israel have not received it. But the elect have received it. The elect, we are the ones. They are fortunate one day to have received it. But God promised that Israel will go back to their land, and the land that was a desert became a desert while they were not there, will blossom like a rose. And God says, I will restore Israel back. How many of you know since the day that Israel became a nation in 1948? Do you know how many battles were fought, and how many war and how many battles out there that were under the miracle of God? There were, at least go and look into the YouTube, or go and subscribe to Israel Network, video network. They're free. There are 16 or 17 of them fought from 1948 when it became a nation. It is impossible for them to survive one against 50 soldiers. Think about it. And many of those Arab, the Egyptian, the Syrian, they were running away from a small band of soldiers. And it's only years later that when they were asked, why did you run away? Because they discovered that there was just a small group there. Said, we saw a vision. There was one time when a group of them saw Abraham behind all this Israel group. Abraham was with Israel. Another time, they saw angels. How can you win a war when the supernatural is with Israel? And you know the ratios of the land of the Arab against Israel, and the number of people out there against Israel, 600 plus to 1 Israelite. Think about it. So God's counsel will stand. His purpose will stand. Why you gotta have, we have the Gentile, we have the Christian here. What the Christian group? The rest of all these people, God has not chosen them anything as far as the gospel is concerned. Right. Okay. Now we have another group here now. As the first five we have, well, those that come out of the Great Tribulation, they go through the millennium, and then they come out at the end. There are people that God chose. Different category of people. Definitely there is a group that are just, well, here and there, here and there, here and there. They elect. We'll go a little bit more. Let's go to the book of Romans 11. Romans 11, 2 to 5. You see, here he's talking about the remnant of Israel. I say then, verse 1, I say then, have God cast away his people? God forbid. Because why God cannot cast away his people? Because he make a vow. He make a promise. He calls of it himself. He cannot change. Because God is an unchanging God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Were ye not what the scripture said of Elijah? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets, and dig down thy altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what said the answer of God unto him? I have besought to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed down their knees to the image of Baal. Even Elijah the prophet was so frustrated. Complaining to God against Israel. They have brought down your altar. They have bowed down to Baal. They have gone to the high places and do their sacrifice unto Milcom or whatever gods out there they have among those pagans. Huh? And what did God say? I like it. He says, I have 7,000. I have reserved to myself 7,000 men that have not bowed their knees to Baal, the gods of the Canaanites, the Philistines, all those pagans out there. I have resolved. So there is a remnant, that is God is saying. And I like what God said, and I want you to remember this. God said, not all Israel are Israel. And you better be careful. The same thing. Not all Christians are Christian. It doesn't mean that you go to church or I get baptized. I'm a Christian. But the question is, are you converted? Truly converted? You better have the Holy Ghost in your life. Because we're not going to, this is not a, you know, a recreation hall here, a party that we are getting here, a social gospel thing. You're just dealing with your life. You understand? Alright. Here is the verse, God should know. Hebrews 12, 22 to 24. But he hath come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. You come to God, to the heavens, the Mount Zion, to see
that there is God the judge out there, God the judge of all, and to the spirit of just men make perfect, and also to make Jesus Christ the mediator of the new covenant, and unto the springing, and unto the blood of springing that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Which means to say it's not about sacrifice of animal. It is about the blood sprinkling of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the mediator. We are gathered in a place called Mount Zion, when there is a city. So what are all these here? Are all these just one assembly? One group of people? Or are they a different group of people? I have people trying to struggle with that and argue. So I'm not going to argue with you. Because in tradition, in denominational tradition, they say that there is only one church. And all the same. Let me tell you, the Bible tells us differently. Huh? You know that, don't you? That's a little different. So what is this general assembly? In other words, you could say universal gathering. A universal assembly of people. And there is a church of the firstborn. People say, no, the general assembly is the church of the firstborn. The church of the firstborn is never called a general assembly. You don't mean by general? Universal? This is the church of the firstborn. And so we have different categories in the family of God. No! What do we have? Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. Out there in this pyramid, the capstone. What do we have next? The wise virgin, who is the bright wine. Right? What did the Bible tell us about virgin? And there are two kinds of virgins, the wise and the foolish one. I mean, are you wise or are you foolish? That makes the difference. What the Bible said about God? Oh, we have a foolish God. Is that what we have? No, we have a wise God. So if we have a wise God, if we are a children, we need to be wise. But there are those that are foolish. Oh, just a wise wife and wise and foolish wife also. That's true. You understand? So these are the foolish, the wise virgin that have made herself ready. These wise virgin were looking forward to the coming of the bridegroom. Right? And they went in to the marriage. The foolish one was still looking for oil. They got lost. By the time they found it, the door is closed. Too late. But they are still virgin. Virgin will always be virgin, whether you are wise or foolish. But it's only play. The thing is, which side are you on? You have a place. People think there's no place. I can tell you one thing. When we all get out onto the other side and we rule with Christ, you will have a place. Depend what place you are, is what you do with your life right now. It's not about working to do God a service to get into heaven. No. Salvation is not a work. Salvation is by grace. You must understand it. But there is a place, a position. That's why, you know, the mother of James and John knew about it and came to Jesus Christ and said, you know, when you go up there, one my son on this left hand, the other one on the right hand, right? Is that right? And Jesus said, there's not for me to give. That's true. You see. You find favor with God. You have to. Jesus found favor with God when he was growing up. As ordinary a boy, as he was, to teenage life, to young man's life, and to the life when he became a prophet and a priest. He found favor as he grew up. So do you find favor with God? You see, that's what the important thing is. Not just because I'm a Christian, I'm going to heaven. And there's always a thing that I hear people say. I say, have you already died to yourself? Huh? Everyone wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. That's a real fact in life. Okay, here we are. Next time. Now we are the foolish virgin. There are tribulation saints out there. The foolish virgin goes out in the tribulation. And I can tell you one thing, a lot of people say the foolish virgin, well, they don't have eternal life. They cast into a lake of fire. Really? What did they get that? As I said one thing about it, definition in the Bible, you don't change. Sons of God are sons of God. They are not angels. Angels are not sons of God. Right? You get it? Virgins are virgins. Virgins are those who are not locked up with the man-made system. They don't fornicate with tradition. Or they are just foolish. Don't store oil. I got the message! Is that it? What does the message do to you? Does it do any good to you? If you don't even know how to store up oil and walk in the light of God's word? It's just the having a lamp that you don't use. Now, how many of us, okay, let me ask you a question. How many of us here have bought things that we hardly even use, maybe use once or twice and then left it in our cupboard? And then after 5 years later, you think, oh yeah, man, look at this. Hey, you. I said, use it. Let me use it one more time and then you leave it again. And then after 10 years, you find that thing gets spoiled. How many of you are guilty of that? Come on now, don't tell me you don't. Yeah, we all do. You know. I used to have this habit back then when I drink a lot of coffee. Back in the 80s, 90s. Man, I drink a lot of coffee and I always buy this Mokona coffee. You know Mokona? Yeah. It's very expensive, it's supposed to be good. And when the offer comes, I buy 4 or 5 bottles, but you know. And then you find out, by the time you finish 2 or 3 bottles, the other expire. It's no good. It doesn't smell good anymore. You know. So we use that, oh, because it's an offer. So we thought that, you know, it's good offer, it will last. But, you know, I think that's one of the foolish things I realized. You see. Buy thing, buy fresh. Even though it's expensive, rather than you buy it and then it's not using it and then you throw it away. You see. But especially even sometimes machines, electronic things you buy, you don't use it. Yeah, we do that. Okay, man, the next one you had 144,000. Now you know 144,000. The Bible said about 144,000. So God put 144,000, 12,000 of each tribe of Israel. Well, God chose that, so what are you going to argue? That is His plan, His counsel. Because this 144,000 Jew, not Christian, huh? Some people believe they are Christian. You know, I have messed up interpretation. The 144,000, the Bible said, of each tribe. And it's given the name of the tribes, right? Now how can it be Christian people? I don't understand. And the Bible did not say that they died. Now that the Bible said that they were killed. I mean, kill or die, or that they were given spiritual bodies. No. They were to go with the woman Israel when they were scattered throughout the world to feed them to the period of the Great Tribulation. God had a purpose for that. So he just because of, oh, we are all Christians, we are going to heaven. You see, one thing about it, when God gives us the gospel, then we are answerable to the gospel. The Jews were given the law, they were answerable to the law and the prophets. You know. And when Jesus appeared, then they were accountable to what John the Baptist said, accountable to what they have heard of John the Baptist, what he said, and also what Jesus uttered. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'll ask you a question. Right now, we are here. We are in the 20th century, 21st century. I always forget that we are in the 21st century. We are in the 21st century. Do you like living in this century, or you think about maybe it's better for me to live in the century when Jesus was there, when I see Him walk on the water, which one would you like to have? How many of you would like to go back, say that if only I was born in the days of Jesus Christ when he walked on the water? How many would like that? Come on! Amen. You like, Brother Cuddy, you like to be there. But you know, when you are there, you only see the miracle and all these things. But whether your heart recognized who he was at that time. With the gospel that we have, this wasn't written yet. The New Testament wasn't written. We can look back. And say, oh, the people are so privileged to hear a Son of God preach the word, to taste the miraculous bread and the fishes, and to see him walk on the water, and to see him raise Lazarus from the dead. Wow! And that's something. They roll back the stone and hear Lazarus come up because he was bound, you know, he was mummified, right? He was, he come walking on that, something like that, and there's somebody, you know, undo the bandage. So wow! But the question is, how many people who see it, who have seen it, who have seen these miracles, actually believe in Jesus Christ? You see, that's a lot of things. But because we are here, God has seen us in this generation. Now I say this, God did not make you to be in this generation. That's all of you don't realize. Oh, God created me and put me in this 21st century. No, he didn't. He did. But he knew you will be in this century. Remember the seed. You take a mango seed, you plant it. Only one seed. You plant it, you bring forth leaves, the soot and then the leaf, and you start to grow into a tree, branches and leaves, and then the fruits. Then the fruit comes, 1,000 mangoes. One elephant starts to eat a few, and they start going east. Another elephant took a few and ate it into his tummy. He moved. You know, an elephant swallowed the whole thing. Oh, here comes a monkey who ate one and then he threw. Okay. So all the creatures are taken, the 1,000 seeds go a different direction. And then the seeds propagate in that country. And then again the tree grows, it goes and further down. Right? Of course. When God planted the seed, he can see rotten seed also. You could see rotten fruit in those trees out there migrate. But he could see fruits that are delicious. Out of the same mango seed that went in the first mango seed. So as human beings populate here, God can see it already in the future from the beginning. And he knew when you will be born, not because he said, I want Luke to be born. You understand? And what? 1991. Huh. Anyone doesn't say, no, I want him to be born 1999, no. God leave things to be as a seed polyphate. All that he did was to say to Adam, be fruitful and multiply. So man just multiply. And you could see how the seed move. You understand? I can guarantee you, ask any denominational Christian you are. Did God, like I told, ask Zoe one time. I think in our discussion. Said, I asked her, do you believe that, or do you think that God made me to be your father? She said, yes. I said, no. It's just that I'm your father. Huh? You understand what I'm saying? Can you choose your father? You don't choose your father. Can you choose your son, how your son will look like? You can't. These are all the process of the seed. Got it? Alright. So 144,000, then another group, the kingdom of Israel. 944,000, now the kingdom of Israel come to being in the millennium. There are different groups all together here. There are different groups. There are all different position. Huh? And then we have the millennium saints that go into the eternal age. Do you understand that? Huh? And then we have the last of it.
elected group, and why God says, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious.
So now, you see, when Israel rebelled against God, they killed the prophet. Then they went into a state of rebelliousness, and they seen another nation all about them. Oh, look at that. They have kings, they have castles, they have palaces. So they want that too. You know, later on you know that. And then they say, oh, look at their gods. Look at the temple there and their gods. So some people say that I want to worship something I can see. And that's why being human beings are like that. Huh? The Bible tells God is spirit. They that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. But no, I need a picture of God. So what did they have? Picture of God? How does God look like? Oh, I know. He has a thorn around His head. And He has long hair and beard. And He looks very sad. So they created an icon of Jesus. Or they created an icon of Mary. Or an icon of St. John or St. Patrick or whatever. And they worship. And the Philippines, you know how they worship on a Good Friday? They're the black Nazarene and the red Nazarene and whatever, Nino, La Nino, all kinds. Where they come from? The vanity of the heart. And the Bible in the law forbids graven images. You cannot liken God unto an object. And I tell you one thing, Jesus Christ is not the hideous. Black Nazarene. How come He's black? How come He's not white? Or yellow? So every country will have their own Jesus of Nazareth. Huh? In Africa they don't have black Jesus, only in the Philippines. I don't know whether in Africa what they have. Or even Jesus in Africa probably have curly hair, kinky hair, and thick lips. Oh yes, man's imagination are like that. Don't you know? You go look into the YouTube, Google the name Jesus Christ, and then click on images, and see how many images you have of Jesus. Huh? Vanities. Just pure vanities. Imagination. Bam. So that will be a people. Now, when Israel was out there in paganism, they were worshipping with the people, the pagan people, on high places, and the grove, you know, on the mountain. No, you don't remember high places? The people worship usually. The pagan people are to go to high places and worship, and they put out the altar higher. That's why in Beirut, in Lebanon, you see that. A lot of characters, the altar, they're always on a high mountain cliff. The higher it is going to, that's why Nimrod built the tower. High. So they could go up to hide on the mountain closer to God. That's the human nature. He said, that's why churches have these minarets. Or these steeple. Huh? You know. No. But that's what they do. Because Israel was in paganism. What did God have it? What did God tell the prophet to do? Or even good kings that came into power. They destroyed all these groves and high places. They have to. You know. Huh? Alright. Let's continue with this later. We'll leave this here. The elected group. There is a people that are elected. They never heard the law. Never heard the gospel. But they are elected to eternal life. They are not predestinated. But they are elected. That's different. I want to show you later. Okay, look at this. The election of God. First of all, the election is not random selection. That you must understand. Okay? Are you aware of it? Election is not random selection. God chose according to His choice.
Very happy. It has nothing to do with the person being good or bad. That you must understand. He looked out into the future. He didn't say, okay, I choose Sister Kang Chiu. I choose Kang Chiu. She's such a good woman. No, nothing to do with that. Huh? Oh, I don't want to choose the one because he's bad. No. Good or bad has nothing to do with it. What was God looking for? Here we have. At the great white throne judgment, there are two books open. Okay? Let's go to it. Now, let us just go to Revelation. And we want to see what it says in chapter 20, the great white throne judgment here. Now, there are people who, well, you know what, denomination have taught that tradition for so many years, that even when it comes down to the end time message believer, they look at it as just the same. Okay? But let us look at what the Bible says. In the great white throne judgment, here we have in verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and he the sun on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small, great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let me say this here. It is easy for people to, you know, force feed doctrine with scriptures. Now, it is said that there are two kinds of resurrection. Which one of the Bible mentioned? The resurrection unto life and the resurrection unto death. Correct? But he didn't tell us in which one is which. People think that the first one, resurrection, is the one that everybody goes to heaven. The second one is the one everybody goes to hell. No, the Bible didn't say that. If the Bible said there is a resurrection to life, there is a resurrection to death. So when people are resurrected, they are one is resurrected to life, one is resurrected to death also. It is not one group that there will be a resurrection of a group of people in one sense. They will all go to heaven. And one group, they were resurrected, or going to help them. Let me say this here. This verse, this passage here, has been taught that the book of life that was open, it was open for the benefit of the saints that are gathered around the great white throne. Remember, this is the final judgment. Okay? The great white throne is set, and God sits on the great white throne. And all the saints are already resurrected in the first resurrection. And in the first resurrection, there are three phases. Remember? Christ's resurrection, Old Testament saying they look forward to Christ, they're resurrected. Is that alright? Then there is a group that go up in the rapture. Is that alright? Yes. And there is a group that resurrected at the end of the tribulation. Is that right? Yes. So these are, as the Bible here in verse, if you look over in verse chapter 20 and verse 5. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were expired. This is the first resurrection, and blessed and dead and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, for they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. You following me? Are you following me? Yes. There is a people that will come out in the first resurrection, and they will reign with Christ for 1,000 years. The Bible says, blessed are they. Right? They come out in the first resurrection. Because why? The second death have no power. That means to say that if the first resurrection, second death have no power, nobody died. But the second death,
the second resurrection or judgment, death had power. So death had the power to take you. But if your name is in the book of life, how can death take you? That's the reason why when you read in the Great White Throne Judgment, last verse of verse 20, chapter 20, whosoever was not found written in the book of life shall be cast into the lake of fire. So the book of life that was opened is not for the benefit of the saint to see. So that every one of these who come by in the great tribulation, great white throne judgment, all of them is going for hellfire. No. That's what the denomination said. Everyone that get up at the great white throne judgment, they're all cast in the lake of fire. So what is the purpose? If it is so, why open up the book of life? Oh, to show to the saint, you see? See? Henry, Joseph, you see? His name is not named in the book of life, okay? I want to make sure that you all know that his name is not there. Okay, go to hell. Then another one comes up. Okay, can you all see the name is not here? No, it's not like that. The Bible tells us this. All will be judged according to their works. And I say this, not, you see, the rest of the dead, as the Bible said in the first few verses. Those that did not get up in the great white, for the millennium, okay, before the millennium, and who be Christ, the Bible said the rest of the dead live not until the 1,000 years is expired. The rest of the dead. Who are these dead? All kinds. People who call themselves Christian. People who are Baptist, denomination, or whatever you want to call themselves. Whether they are pagan or not, they all does not come out until the 1,000 years expire. And blessed are those who spend 1,000 years with Christ and reign with Him for the 1,000 years. And after that, we have Satan let loose for 1,000 years. And again, Satan will deceive the world to have a great battle with Christ and the camp of God, which are the Christians, and what then? Huh? And God will send fire down from heaven, destroy them. And then He will set up the great white throne judgment and judge all the dead. All the dead numbers come up. It doesn't matter how far back you live. All will have to come up and judge according to their work. How long does it take to judge these millions of people? Huh? 1 second each? Because you have to be a to re-judge them, you know. How long? Time doesn't exist. Because why? The 7,000 years is over. The great white throne is set up. Huh? The great white throne doesn't last 10 years. It doesn't last 1,000 years. It doesn't even last a minute. Because eternity, how do you quantify it? How do you quantify time? When everything is set up in heaven. So now all is to be judged. The good work, good Methodist work. Good philanthropist work, you're a good man. Though you don't believe in Jesus, you're a good man. Huh? Whatever God is judging here as to their work is one thing. But the thing right now is that open the book of life. If the person's name is in the book of life, He's given eternal life. It is because God is election. God will judge them. If they have no law, they cannot be judged by the law. If they have no gospel, nothing. They're judged by the conscience. And here we all know, as Paul said, whether you have the law, whether you don't have the law or no gospel, the conscience will always say that we are guilty. Right? We are guilty. So we are all guilty, of course. But you and I, God has chosen and predestined us to sonship. Predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son by the gospel that He gave us. And by the word that we have. But there are people who are outside this time frame. They've never heard the gospel. Never. They're in China, they're in Mongolia, they're in India, Africa, who never heard the gospel when Jesus was there. In Israel, they were somewhere else. And if God, by His grace and mercy, chose them, elect them, what can you say? not because, oh, the person is in India, he worships a big idol, a demon. We don't know. Because he's in darkness. He's in conscience. Huh? But God does not look at the man. Oh, because he worships an idol, he go to hell. I don't choose him. Oh, but this one, he doesn't. He's just a very nice man. Nothing. Nothing to do with that. So what was God looking for? What was God looking for? If he wasn't looking for whether the man is a good man or a woman is good, what is he looking for? Huh? Alright. Elisha has God's grace and mercy in mind. You believe that, don't you? Huh? That's Elisha. God's grace. I will be mercy. I will give mercy to whom I will be merciful. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Now, look at this. God's foreknowledge sees the Spirit in all men. This is what we are talking about. Look at the scripture here, this verse. 1 Corinthians 2. And we see what 1 Corinthians here says. Alright? 1 Corinthians 2, 10 to 11. Here he says here, but God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Now we must be glad that He revealed to us. Okay? For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So who have the mind of God? Your spirit is your spirit. You search your own spirit. But the Spirit of God searches His own spirit. And because God is looking for the deep things. Now, the whole thing here is the word spirit. Okay, searched. It's a word here in Greek. It's pronounced as yeru-nao. The word search is not just when you they find hard to define this usage of this word because it has a power, it's a deep thing. It's not like the one that you read in Psalms 139, verse 1. Psalms 139, what did King David say? Search me, O God, know my heart today. It's a different word. The one that is written here by Paul, the Bible says the Spirit of such all things, yeah, the deep things of God. God such His own Spirit. He looked at the Spirit of man. What was He looking for? Only He knows what He was looking for. You do not know. Alright? It's not just, oh Lord, search me, oh Lord, the kind of search. It is something that God is looking at. Let me ask you the question. What do you think God is choosing? Oh, some people say, oh, did God choose me because you know that I respond to the gospel? Really? It's just because like that? So God did not choose him because he does not respond to the gospel? And let me say this one thing again to you. Look at Judas Iscariot. Christ has chosen him. He has seen all the miracles. And God is trying to prove one point. Even a man like Judas Iscariot, whom he chose to be a disciple of Christ, seen all the miracles, even given the power to heal the sick, open blind eyes, make the crippled to walk, and yet was son of Christ. Huh? Think about it. What's in the heart of Judas Iscariot? And when he realized what he had did was sin, he had shed innocent blood, as he said. He threw the coin down upon the feet of those religious people. They cannot pick it up because that's blood money. So what did Judas is going to do? He went to find a place to repent. And the Bible says there's no place for him to repent. He found no place for repentance. He cried and screamed, God, forgive me! The Spirit of God laughed at him. No response. He realized he's finished.
When he realized he's finished, he doesn't want to live, so he hanged himself. So what is God looking for? God searches for the deep things, the deep thing of the Spirit of God, and in man as well. So he's the point of way of the grace. So what have you to say? Because you are good? Because you will respond to the gospel? So, Paul, if God did not stop him, if Jesus Christ did not stop him on the road to Damascus, what do you think he would do? He would continue to kill all the Christians. But why did God do that? Because there's something in him I don't know what God look at. And God says, I will be gracious to him. To whom I will be gracious. Is God unfair? As the Bible says, is God unfair? Unjust? You understand this? Ask you what with God about the mind of God when he planned and he planned and he counseled. That's just God's ways. Oh, so God has nothing to do with our choice. No, as far as he picked you. But when he picked you and showed you the gospel, now that you are a Christian, you have a choice. That's why Gideon said, choose you this day, we will you serve. Joshua. I always thought it was Gideon. Joshua. Choose you this day, whom you will serve, because they have the knowledge of Yahweh. And there are people that are rebellious when they go this way. And Joshua said, you make your choice. Do you understand that? It's not before you are a sinner that you can make a choice. No. I was a sinner, I don't know about Jesus Christ. My mom talked to me about Jesus Christ when I was a young age. I stick to go to church, go to Sunday school and learn. I said, wow, that name is sweet. I learned about him. And when the order was called, I give my heart to him. Now I make the choice because now I was presented. And I know he's real. He's talking in my heart. Come, my child, come. And when I backslid after 2 years, and God took me back again, your prodigal son, come home now. God picked and he will have to shape my life. He picked you, he has to shape your life. Don't think that this life as a Christian is just, okay, just one of those religions I picked and I know I'm going to heaven, and you don't care about your life. Be careful. Even as you take care of this body, you take care of your spiritual health as well. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he landed high and dry. Noah found grace, the Bible said. Noah found grace. Who was it? Noah that God found grace in him? Huh? Noah was already a patriarch. He already knew about Yahweh. But he found grace. People say, oh no. He found grace because there was nothing. No, they always defy. I know I had a hard time trying to talk with some of these anti-message people. They always call Brother Abraham and don't even understand the scripture. What is grace? Grace is unmerited favor, right? Is that right? Unmerited favor. I mean favor. Is that not right? Unmerited. Is that not true?
Yeah.
So there's nothing good about Noah. That's true. Nothing good about Noah. But you understand one thing. All the lineage of the Sadiq firstborn. Second, third, all of them. They have the knowledge of Yahweh. But many of those have gone away. Astray. And no one was watching in all the things that was going on. That's why he married at 449 years old. 499 years old. Either at the end of it or at early 500, because his first child was born at 500. Why he waited so long? He was waiting for the will of God because he knows the will of God. But they arise, they don't care. And in that the Bible said God, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God can give you a grace because how you walk, and he give you extra grace. Yes. It's a matter of favor, but God picked him. Because there's something in Noah. There's the spirit of Noah that God looks at. God is looking at your spirit. What was he looking at? I don't know. There is something in us. Something in Paul, something in Judas Iscariot. that God knew he would overcome. He was sold birthright. Like Esau. What was God looking at in Esau? What was he looking at in Jacob? That's because Jacob wanted the birthright and Esau does not want the birthright? No, there's more than that. I don't know what he's looking at. Huh? Now, salvation is provided by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We all know that. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So, that's the reason why some people say, what mean to say that those people who never heard the gospel, they have eternal life? Sure. It's all because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Even though you come to Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ did not shed this blood, how can you have sin forgiven? Nothing. You see, if God have a plan to do what he wanted, to have a plan working from Middle East outward, what is there for you to say? He could have started his work in China, right? Correct? Yes, yeah. He could pick a black Abraham, so to speak, in Africa or in India, or the yellow Abraham in China. Right? Sure. But if you want to work from Middle East, expanding out, and when he began to deal with people like the eunuch out there in the Gaza Strip, Gaza Desert, had to send Philip to go and talk to him in the gospel, that is his will. He could send a man also, Philip, to China if he wanted to, but he didn't. You understand what I'm saying? He could send Philip over to China. Philip transport and appear right there. But he didn't. Why? Because God counseled with himself. He had a plan, he had a purpose to do whatever he wanted. So, it's not for us to question him. For those who have never heard the gospel, election will stand short if God had picked him. All because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. All have been, all that which is paid. That's why after the sprinkling of the blood, we speak a better thing than that of Abel. Huh? To the church of the firstborn we gathered there, to the assembly, general assembly, and to the spirit of just men make perfect. What a just. Who are the just men? Men who are justified by God, by the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ, by God's grace. Yeah. Hard to comprehend. People think that all those in China during the time when Jesus Christ was there in the Middle East. China has been always existing. How many thousand years? 2,000 years. There are millions of people out there. They're all going to help. That's where election comes in. And people don't understand that election. Finally, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. You have not chosen me. I have chosen you. And that's why you must remember this. God has chosen you and give you the gospel. God has chosen Israel before the gospel and give them the law. Is that right? Yes. Now, in this generation, oh, since the last century, God has sent us a message. He has given us a message. What are you going to do with the message? People think nothing about the message because denominations are blinded. You see the difference? Israel was children given the law. We were not given the law. The gospel came through Jesus. The law was fulfilled. Things that were done, things that were contrary to us, done away with at Calvary. Gospel that were given to the Gentiles. Israel blind. God blind them. The Bible said that. For whose sake? For your sake. So he could turn to you. Now he gave you the gospel. He didn't give you the law. But he gave the gospel. Yes. What do you do with the gospel? What happened to the gospel? What a mess. And God sent a message. To turn us back. So what do you do with the message now? How many people have the message? The Jews today still do not have the gospel. Many of them don't even see it. Because of their tradition. The denomination did not see what we have. The message.
Because they were into tradition.
So what do you do with the God? What do we do with the message?
So more that is given to us, the more is required of each and every one of us. That is God's purpose. His will in having a people. And the people are all having a position. You must understand. You are not called not to nothing. You are called and we are chosen, we are predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, mercy to whom I will have mercy. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray that, Father, it will be easily understood by all. That you, in your great omnipotence, Lord, in omniscience, you foreknown, you chose, you predestinate, you make a plan to do whatever you want, to have a family of God, to have a certain kind of people, and to give eternal life to whom you will, Father. You will show mercy to whom you will show mercy, and grace to whom you will show grace. And we know, Father, that's the thing we understand, that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And if sin is not covered up, Father, then, Father, Lord, there cannot be eternal life for anyone at all. And for those that you have chosen in this generation, this hour, Father, that they are having seen the light, we walk in the light and walk close to it, that we may be conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for all this now, and we ask for your blessing for today in Jesus' name. Amen.